Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Iris Bunchaff today.
Good morning again, John.
And we've been talking with Paul Dresner, who is a certified public accountant, in reference to some planning strategies for seniors, in reference to taking pension payments, et cetera, payments. And some of that is for adult children also. I mean, the important thing here is the information we give it on the show, share it. You know, you hear something, say, that's interesting, but maybe that doesn't affect me today. But you know who? Maybe Sally or maybe George or whatever.
And when you get into a conversation with someone else, you think more for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You hear yourself better, and that generates ideas.
Very true. Very true. We're going to go back to Paul, and I'm going to start it off with a question in reference to, which a lot of seniors deal with, estimated taxes.
Okay, so this, again, two of the most powerful tax deductions you can get are when you get a deduction for something that you're going to have to pay for anyway, but by timing it properly, you get a bigger deduction, or at least you defer tax for a year, which in a world that has inflation, is a bigger deduction also by definition, not that much. And also, when you're doing things that by your planning and your timing of them afford you a deduction that you might not otherwise get at that time. One of these things, as John mentioned, is the arena of estimated tax payments. If you're in a situation where your withholding or your income is not sufficient to cover your tax liability, or you have income such as rental income or subchapter S income or other income that's not subject to withholding, so you have a partnership income and you have a tax that's going to be generated because of that, and you're in a rubric where you have to pay estimated taxes, if you look at the vouchers, they're going to tell you, pay those, and your accountant might in their instructions, and I'm not maligning any accountant. This is things that they should be, hopefully you will discuss with them. Those vouchers are going to tell you that you have to pay your estimated taxes in April, in June, in September, and in January. Well, if you have a federal tax, and if you itemize, so your income is sufficient or your deductions are sufficient that you can itemize, you may look at that January state tax payment that you have to make. Because if you make it in December and you're not subject to the alternate minimum tax, that's a federal tax deduction. So that it's true you won't have that deduction next year, although you repeat the same thing next year. But let's say you have to make a $3,000 New York State tax payment that you would normally make January 15th. If you make that same $3,000 payment on December 30th, because you're gonna owe it anyway, you're gonna have to pay it either December 30th or January 15th. So if so it's not something that you wouldn't have paid anyway within a relatively few weeks. But if you pay it in December, what you're gonna get a deduction at the federal level of whatever tax rate you're in. So if you're in a 15% tax bracket, that $3,000 payment is going to save you $450 on your federal tax. If you're on a 25%, it will save you 25% of that. So that's the tax planning. That's something that we look at usually with everybody in my practice, usually in November. We look at every client that we have that either has had to make estimated payments or has owed money, has had a liability at the end of the year, and we analyze that and we will advise them the timing of that so that they will make perhaps that state payment earlier, or sometimes the other way around. Again, we're assuming they're not going to be an alternate minimum tax situation, because sometimes we know that their income is going to be higher in one year than the other, and we want to get the biggest bang for our buck. But
I'm sorry, Paul, does that relate only to the last payment, the December payment?
Yes, because the other ones he would be making in the year anyway. And if you make them late, it doesn't matter. You're still going to be making. So it only amounts to the last one, because the last one is not due until the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So by timing that, in which year, you can get at the worst, you're getting a deferment of that same tax a year down the road. And to me, that's a good thing. I'd rather pay IRS a year later rather than a year earlier. And again, if you factor in inflation, you're paying with a little bit cheaper dollars. So, but it's only referring to the last payment.
I'm just going to interrupt you for 1 second here. In that, this is a tremendous concept, a small concept. I don't mean, this is the type of stuff that requires communication. And there's two things, with your accountant, with your attorney.
To know the right questions
to ask. Right, some seniors are afraid to ask a question. Now, what I didn't do before, I didn't give out Paul's phone number. Paul's number is 516 516-365-0677. That's 516-365-0677. Listening to the program, it behooves everybody who pays estimated taxes to bring up the question. Say, this is what I heard this morning. Do I do this? No. Why? Now, there's also a reason why some people don't do it. It's insignificant. I mean, the amount of money would be $50. We don't bother. You know, and some people don't want to do it because they don't like change.
Or they don't know the right question to ask.
Good point. That's the more important one. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. So, again, this sort of goes into the rubric of if you by November, if you haven't already, you should be making some kind of review of your tax situation for the coming year. For that year, that will be due by the following April 15th, and make a plan, or at least discuss it with your accountant. One other way of doing, of accomplishing the same things with those of you who are able, because you're over 59 and a half, to withdraw IRA money, and you have IRA money, is to use that withdrawal that would, if you in a situation where you already have to make a required minimum distribution. We're talking about monies in excess of that. If you either were going to either need to do that or you wish to do that for this particular tax savings, so that we're not talking about the RMD, we're talking about money that would be over that. Or if you're not yet of retirement age and you have, but you have IRA accounts, you want to do that. When you withdraw from your IRA, you can have that money designated toward federal or tax or state and or city liability. It could be withheld. So if you're in a situation where you have to pay estimated quarterly taxes and you either don't want to, or you don't, or you miss a payment. So if you went and if you make the payment, you may get a penalty if you end up in a penalty situation. You can mitigate that by doing it through your IRA. You can, let's assume that your tax liability or what you need to make up from other withholding sources is going to be $10,000, and your accountant told you you got to pay $2,500 a quarter in federal estimated taxes. One way around, and if you miss one of those or you can't make one of those, you may get be in a penalty situation. One of the ways of getting around that is to hold that money aside, not make the payment. Tell your IRA people, and I would you need to check with your IRA people that they can and do that. And they and usually there's a lead time on the doing that. You can't tell them on December 30th, but you could tell them on December 1st. Say, you know what? I want to make an IRA withdrawal that I wasn't normally going to make. That would either be one because I'm not of retirement age yet, but I'm old enough not to have the 10% penalty, or I'm already done my RMD, but I want to make an additional payment. I want you to make another $10,000 withdrawal from my IRA for this year. And you know what? I want you to do that on December 30th, and I want you to take all that money. I don't want the check. I want you to send out all that as federal withholding, and I want to pay have my 1099-R show a $10,000 IRA withdrawal and $10,000 federal withholding. What that and what you're going to do, because you've presumably held aside that $10,000, which you were going to pay anyway through the vehicle of estimated tax payment, and within 60 days, you're going to roll that same $10,000 back into that IRA. What does that accomplish? It accomplishes two things. Number one, the $10,000 as income is not taxable anymore because you've made a legitimate rollover. I'm assuming you haven't made other rollovers through the year, so you're qualified to make a rollover, so you need to check that. But more importantly, under the law presently, when you make quarterly estimated tax payments, if you miss one, you're liable for a penalty. When you do it through the vehicle of withholding, whether it be wage withholding or in this case 1099-R withholding, even though it may physically be done on December 30th, it is under the law assumed, or the law says that this is assumed that this was made pro rata throughout the year. Therefore, you can make the same $10,000 payment, not through the vehicle of estimated payments where you missed the first three and you're making 10, you're going to get a penalty for not having made the first three. You will get no penalty because it's construed to have been made pro rata throughout the year.
John, John, Paul, may I stop you for a moment? I asked part of this question. Now, September is coming up when an estimated tax
we're
September.
We're past September 15th.
We're past September.
Okay, you have to go to your IRA now.
I mailed it out already, but let's say I did not mail that out. Would I be able to do twice for September and
that's
December?
Another way of it. Let's say you missed the payment, all right, and you don't want to get a penalty. You have an IRA that permits you to do this. and we're talking about, again, money, and you're willing to, you have that money set aside, instead of making that estimated payment late, you could do it through the IRA, assuming that you could arrange that with your IRA people. Most of them can do that, as far as, at least that's my experience, and you will avoid the penalty. So the answer to that is yes, there are ways of
doing it. I never heard that. It's because you're here, Iris.
So you can do
because
that.
Because conversation does that, and Paul is answering the questions.
Right.
Presenting, you know, the ideas and then answering them.
So, again, check this with your accountant. I don't know what your IRAs provide for, but if you have these options, these are things that should be on the table and you can discuss them. Because at the worst scenario, like I said, I have some clients who have large tax bills and they're keeping their money all year and they're using it in other ways and they're taking care of their tax legitimately and legally in this manner, and this is fine. And once in a while, by the way, I will say as an aside, they'll get a letter from IRS that tries to give them a penalty, and we respond to that, and the penalty year after year gets abated. So you may get correspondence on it, but it's something that would be abated. IRS does not like to give up penalties when they think they can charge them. You may want to have 529 plans, which are education plans, so that you can designate this is a state tax deduction. It's limited to $5,000 per person. So if there are two of you, if you're married, it's $10,000. It's not per beneficiary. Say if you have five grandchildren, you can't give them each five. You can give them each two, totaling 10, one from each of you. But again, this is found money for the person who's doing that, especially a parent who's going to pay the tuition anyway. You can now use the 529 plan as a vehicle, even because at one time when those plans were first done, you had to keep the money in there for 3 years. You no longer have to do that. You can use it as a conduit for paying tuition, and you get it. So it's one of the few things where IRS gave you a break, or New York State gave you a break in the one hand without taking it back in the other hand, and that's few and far between. That's one of them. If you have
IRS,
if you make,
I wanted
if you
to put a
this,
period on yeah. something.
if you do that, you're getting free money, because if you're making a $10,000 contribution and you're in a 6% state bracket, you're getting back $600 of tax money, which is nice in your pocket.
Okay. My question is, that limitation that you just mentioned, that the whole $10,000 cannot be given to each of, say, your grandchildren.
Right, you can't give $60,000 if you have
$60,000. Right. But that, what is it, $14,000?
That's a gift. You're talking about gifting.
I understood, but I wanted to clarify that for the audience.
That's another technique for reducing your estate if you think you're going to be in an estate situation where you're going to owe taxes. Again, these are things that you should talk to your attorney about, should have in your will. Fortunately, the estate limitations where they become taxable have been going steadily up, so many people might not
have
that.
What is it presently?
It's a little bit over $5 million on the federal level. The gifting is 14. And that's per person, so that if you have a daughter, each parent could theoretically give that daughter $14,000.
We're out of time.
No.
40 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
The wealth of information that you shared, Paul, is tremendous. I told you,
I didn't get to
this. Is beat the clock. This is beat the clock.
You'll need to come back again.
You have to come back. Yes. We'll try to get you back before the end of the year, because this is absolutely tremendous. And that's it. And it behooves everybody to pay attention, ask questions. Feel free to call Paul, or at the same time, go to your own counsel, legal counsel, or tax advisors for the questions we talked about today. You're listening to 88.1 FM. WCWP.org. We'll be right back, and thank you, Paul, so much.